What are the big challenges affecting studios right now?
Do you ever wish life had an undo button? Walking the balance between business and the creative life can be hard. But Matt and Shelby are here to attempt to answer the tough questions, so you don't need an undo. Presented by Made by Things, this is the Command Z Show.
And welcome back to the Command Z Show. Shelby, are you pretty good?
I'm pretty good. Oh, I'm doing great.
Pretty good. Pretty great.
Great. Yeah.
Anything, sorry. any news of any sort, Shelby?
We did get more news. So what would be last week, I talked about the nominations for the film for IMPA, the Iowa Motion Picture Association Awards, which is a mouthful. But we got another nomination just out of nowhere. They said, hey, somebody else put in besides you guys, and you got another supporting actor award. So pretty exciting. We got 10 nominations for one of our films. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, found that out this morning.
That's crazy. When will the general public be able to see this? I assume you still have to have it kept under wraps, right?
Yeah, we keep it under wraps for a little while because things have to work through festival circuit. But it should be coming out most likely on Amazon Prime pretty soon, hopefully. Ooh. That's a little sneak peek, maybe. Might have to edit this out. We'll find out. So hopefully it'll be coming to the audiences in mass soon.
That's really exciting. It's been really fun to just sort of follow your journey on this whole thing from the very beginning stages, running the Kickstarter and hearing about the late nights of being able to shoot this and everything. So I don't know. It's really cool to kind of see this whole thing full circle from the spectator perspective.
It's a wild ride. Oh,
well done, Shelby.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Enough compliments. So we have a special guest today, Amanda Russell. Amanda, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you guys today. Yay, I'm here.
Yay. Yeah. Amanda, me and you are going to be on a little bit of a panel during Making Midwest. Not only that, but you'll also be speaking by yourself as well. And we're going to try not to spoil any of that stuff, but with you coming into Columbus for Making Midwest, we wanted to get you on the podcast and try to see what we can do to spill the beans early, I guess. I don't know.
Let's do a little peep show, a little motion peep show. It sounds grosser than it is, I promise, but it will be fun no matter what.
We're going to change the title for the podcast.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot of weird
motion
views.
Peep show. Yeah. That's it. That's the secret. We just
get the big really reveal. Yeah.
Weird with it. Oh, geez. Anyway, so I believe your talk will be on May 17th. I believe yours is on Friday. And then we'll be doing our panel with Matt Garrison, and that's going to be on May 18th. We're going to talk about the state of the motion industry. We might call that motion peep show industry jargon.
Please don't, but okay. Mac and I will be like, it's not what you think, and I'm sorry.
Really looking forward to being able to meet in person for the first time.
Yeah, I don't think we get some in real life hugs for the first time. And it's cool because you and I think for like almost a decade, if not a decade, have been kind of following each other's like progress from studio to studio. Yep. And like cheering each other on before that was cool to cheer another studio on. So, hey, we're trailblazers. Like, you know, that was, everybody was scared of each other back then. But I think, you know, we were really curious. We're like, hello from Virginia, you know, and it's cool to know that even like early on, there were people like you out there that was like, yeah, I'm going to be a cool guy. I'm super talented, but I don't have to act like I'm too good for anyone. So thank you.
I've never said that in my entire life.
I know you haven't. So. And that's exactly why I liked you right away. So yeah, it's good to be here.
You know, it's interesting that you kind of bring some of that stuff up because, even just recently, that is actually something that I hear a lot is like, hey, like you seem like you're like really willing to kind of like push down some of these walls and kind of connect studios that are, you know, often competing against each other. And to me, like, I honestly, I kind of forget like that, like maybe there are certain times where we do compete. Most of us do not compete directly with each other. But even like studios locally in Columbus, I'm like, no, I still like talk to everyone. And like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I see it that way.
I think when you're super competitive and you let that kind of, you know, take over your personality or prevent you from hanging out with people who are probably just like you, you're missing out on the point of our amazing community. Because I think, you know, we had kind of the same situation in Richmond. We were like a block away from Hue and Cry. And we're like, oh my God, they're so good. Mm. You know, they probably think we're dumb and they probably are mean. And I bet, you know, and like, we're like making this up in our minds, right. But really they were just cool. And they were probably thinking the same thing about us. So I think once, you know, in the early years, like once you realize everybody is actually cool, they just might be a little insecure about, right. You know, I don't know, like hanging out with another studio or whatever. I think once you get over that, you realize like it's just short-sighted. And the long view is you never know where you're going to be working next. You never know what your next collaboration is going to look like or who your next producer is going to be. And so it's better to just learn from each other and just to kind of share the knowledge. And everybody feels so much better when you're on the other side of that fence, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. It's the high tide raises all ships thing. That's I can't remember right. How it goes, but
you say that just like I do. It's incorrect, but I get it. I'm like, you get the ideas. I don't even know what it is, but I love how you said it because I'm like,
just all the ships they rise together, and yeah. We don't know why. Maybe it's the moon. Probably the moon. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, no, it's that idea though, where it's like. And this, we haven't gotten to the real question here, but whenever I came to Columbus from Los Angeles, I guess that was the weird thing, interesting thing that I saw in Los Angeles, where I was like, a lot of these people are kind of friends with each other. Like there is a lot of competition here, but like, it really is like that. We're on the same street. You have six studios that are all like competing for the same work. Now I can't speak for like the owners of all those companies, but I can speak for the artists of all those companies where it's like, they were able to, you know, somebody says, hey, we're doing an event tonight and able to fill up a theater, 500 people, and all these people at different studios are all together. And I always admired that. And I always said that wherever I go, that's exactly what I want to create. And I mean, it's not that easy, obviously, but like that's the goal anyway.
I think the smaller town. So I'm in Richmond, Virginia. And when we first started, there weren't a lot of competitors. And so maybe we just didn't have the practice of, you know, being around other people and understanding that. And I'm not saying Richmond was like cutthroat by any means. It wasn't. We're still decent people. But I think at first it's like you need permission because there's no culture established. And so it's like, I don't know. yeah, I don't know how to act. So, but I am seeing that more and more where everybody is just like, yeah, I'd rather be friends than, you know, and learn from each other than, you know, play a game where it's just awkward and you feel like you have to look over your shoulder. So I like this much better. And I think that we're like one of the only industries that has fully embraced that. Like we're getting close to full embrace status on the friendly competition. So I hope it continues and spreads. We need it. Yeah. We need it.
I agree. And last note on Making Midwest, tickets are still available. MakingMidwest.com. Little plug.
Heck yeah. Like that? Get your ticket. Get your ticket, everybody. come see the peep show. Peep show. Buy your ticket. Whatever works, right?
That's where we're at now, I guess. Okay. That would have been a good like April Fool's thing. No, probably not still even then. Anyway, all right. Shelby, I hear that you have a bit of a question for Amanda. Let's kick it off.
All right. Our big question of the day is, what are the big challenges affecting studios right now?
Ooh, Shelby, you got me good. You got me real good. I have so many answers for this. I'm going to have to go with, how many answers can I give?
It's up to you.
Okay. All right. All right. So first of all, I think it'd be impossible to ignore our previous challenges. So previous challenges, I think, that still exist are not having really control or influence over the budget or the timelines, usually, unless you're really in deep with a client. Not having access to like final results of a campaign, which depending on where you are in a studio, that information can be really helpful when you are selling to more clients, but you often never get it. Lack of a unified process and terminology, which just like I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to. I'll just keep it there. And then the other thing that everybody's really talking about is like the economy and the influence of AI on that economy. And I know everyone's so tired already, even though we're at the very beginning of what this AI beast is going to look like. I think that it's probably the biggest concern right now, because what it means is uncertainty for a lot of different industries. And when there's uncertainty, everybody pulls back their budgets. And that means we don't know where our next clients are coming from. So that kind of thing can cause a lot of fear. It's not just us, it's everybody else. And on top of that, you've got like our agency friends who have been, you know, cut or laid off. So now your contacts that you've been working with for like years, now they're out of a job. And so you might lose that client based on, you know, their employment. It gets better because, you know, over time they get a new job. You've got double contacts. But right now, when everyone's in the thick of it, it's very doom and gloom, and it can be very scary.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring up a lot of these things. because so just this morning, I'm right there with you. Like, right, I see a lot of what people are saying right now, and I see a bit of negativity. I see a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And it's making people question a lot of things, and maybe some misplaced anger. It's a weird thing where it's like it's affecting everybody, mm-hmm. and
it's coming out sideways. Definitely
a lot of right,
yeah,
and I guess the thing that I sat down this morning because I was like, you know what? What would I want my response to be to those people if they were like being like that in front of me or like asking me what my thoughts were? And it ended up turning into this big LinkedIn post that'll be out in 2 weeks from now. But yeah, it's real. I'm really building this up. but it kind of led me down this path of, I think that the thing that's making people most angry right now might be AI. Mm-hmm. I believe that a lot of people are attributing the kind of downturn that we're sort of in right now to AI. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I'm like, I don't think that's it. I don't even think it's close to one of the reasons right now why this is happening.
Right.
I guess my thoughts are, yes, as from an economy standpoint, people are afraid right now. And like you said, when they're afraid, they're not going to spend money. Mm-hmm. They probably still have the budgets, but they just don't want to use it right now because they don't know. They don't know what this future is going to look like in the next 8 months.
Sure.
And I do think that it's sort of encouraged some clients to start dabbling with AI a bit more. But I'm not so sure myself if it's really led to this huge impact on the industry. Not yet.
And I think, so there's a couple, I have so many thoughts. I have calls about AI so often, and it's not a bad thing. I love it. And I think that that's a part of the process. If you want to stop being afraid, you have to start understanding the problem. And so where to start? So here's how I wrap my head around it. I tell myself it's okay not to know everything. And it's, but try to learn something. And even though you might feel one way or the other about generative art, from AI, understand how different platforms are creating that art, or image. For those who don't believe it's art, I hear you, image, whatever. But know the difference and understand where you stand, like, ethically on both sides, because not every platform uses the same kind of technology or same kind of algorithm. So, like, case in point, Adobe, you know, they've got some generative things going on. It's not the same as Midjourney. Obviously very different platforms in general, but you understand what I'm talking about. So know the base, the general, like, where your stance is, but then ask yourself, why do I feel that way? And is it just based off of fear, or is it based off of a real threat that is, it's coming for you and you see it and it can replace what you do today? So after you figure that out, the whole thought process, but after you figure that out, you have to start asking yourself, like, did I even want to be doing that thing? Because a lot of the things that I'm seeing are, they are making pre-visualization faster, but not necessarily the final output faster. Because if you have a very clear idea of what you want and what you need, it's going to take a very long time, and you're still going to have to jump into Photoshop at some point, as you know, as of right now, to fix a few things, because there's just going to be some wonky stuff. I think the notion that, like, it's one button or it's one prompt away from replacing you is incorrect, but the argument that it's happening faster and faster on a different time scale than human comprehension, that's a valid point. So there's a lot to think about. Yes, it can be scary, but the way to get past that fear is to learn. You just have to inform yourself, and you'll feel, if anything, so much better. And my last, I know I keep going, but my last thing we will not be the only industry that is disrupted by AI. We're probably just one of the first ones. And it doesn't mean that our industry goes away. It means that it changes, but everything is going to change. And so the cool thing that I think is that, yes, we're kind of pioneers in this disruption, this level of disruption, but we're going to be way ahead of things by the time everyone else starts feeling it, because we get it. We have to know tools and technology all the time, but everyone else, where their job is not, you know, to learn these tools, they're going to be, there's going to be a lot more disruption coming. So at least look on the bright side that, like, we are more prepared than most people to handle this kind of disruption.
Right. I guess I think about it often of, like, how, like, the tools that were available, let's say 3D animation, for instance, where it's like, let's go back to 1990 for a moment here, and let's look at, see how difficult it was to do something like 3D animation. Yeah. And since then, every year, like clockwork, something new has come out and made that process easier and more available to people. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's sort of something that's kind of happening right now, just a little bit different, obviously.
It's exponential, where it's like, for sure. But yeah.
Right. But it's, and you know, we have this conversation all the time where it's like, there's certain things that I'm okay with and certain things that I'm not okay with. And in general, my idea is like, I'm not okay with using AI for like final art, like to just type in a thing and then it's a thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. Like if somebody does it, I don't care. I care about myself doing it because I'm like, well, that doesn't really tell the story here, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't do this thing. It's just kind of like, it's the same as searching for stock imagery.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, I wish they were turning this way. And like, you're still in that same general spot. You just have something that looks a little bit different. So I don't know. I guess what I see is like the people that have their identity wrapped up in exactly what it is that they do. So being, if you are a 3D animator and like that is part of your identity and you see this thing sort of moving in a little bit, like I get it, but I don't know. I think maybe it's time for people to take a half a step back, mm-hmm. maybe a full step, and just figure out like, okay, what if I'm not that? Like, what if that is not my identity? Who am I then? As a creative, as an artist? And I don't know. Like, if I guess I feel like I did that throughout mm-hmm. my career, was like, that's exactly what I did, was I start kind of taking these little half steps back. Where I'm like, because that's what I was a 3D modeler. Mm-hmm. Like that was it. That was what I wanted to be, you know? And it was like, you know what? Wait a minute. Like, I want to make things move. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, all right, now it's just animation. I want to make 2D things move. Now it's just a bigger picture of animation, doing stop motion. Like, and then it just turned into like, I don't care what it is that we do. I just want to be able to tell some really cool, interesting stories. And to make the style that we use match whatever that story is. Like that's, to me, that's the only goal. And sure, like if I can go into AI and I can type a thing in and I can get that, that's great. Perfect. Fine. Whatever. But like, I just generally don't think that I can make that connection just yet.
I think you bring up a really good point about the placement of ego. I talk about ego a lot, not because I don't have one, because everybody does, but I try to suppress it. You know, I try to keep it quiet as much as possible. But ego, like, it eats fear and it loves fear and it wants to push out more fear. And so you got to keep that in mind when you're afraid. It's because there's an obstacle in the way and you got to get over it. And so how do you get over it? How do you mentally get over it? You got to learn about it. You got to kind of understand it. So don't shy away from it. It doesn't mean that you have to be a user of generative AI if that's not your thing, but just try to learn about it so that you know what you're talking about when you have an argument against it. And, you know, I had the same kind of journey where I started out as, you know, graphic designer, and I was a graphic designer, and then I moved on to animator, and I was an animator. And then once I opened up the studio with my two partners, you know, a couple years down the road, I started realizing I cannot be the only animator for this type of project. Like, we have to have a team. But if I'm not an animator, what am I? I can't be a creative director. Like, cause that's, you get like bad imposter syndrome and you start kind of freaking out. And you don't feel like you have a lot of value to give to projects, but you have the vision. You start realizing over time that being a creative director is really important to a project, but you don't know that until you're on, you know, until you have a little bit of time to really embrace it. So how that relates to AI is that having this idea or this vision is incredibly important. So you need, yes, you need a prompt engineer. No, it is not as easy as just typing something up. You have to know the terminology. You have to know so much about cameras and lighting and shadows and rendering and all of these and illustration. Depending on what your goal is, you have to know these terms. And and composition. And so there's, you know, obviously you have to embrace it, but it's not like the end of learning at that point. All of these tools do is they kind of pack everything into one and they just do the grunt work for you. But it is, it's very complex, and it is a complex issue. And so if you, I would say, don't be 100% all in either, and don't be 100% all out. For right now, if you can stand it, be in the middle so that you can learn both perspectives. Get on a call with somebody you might disagree with and have an intelligent conversation and say, hey, I want to know what you know. I did that yesterday and it was fantastic. I disagreed with somebody on LinkedIn of all places, which has become like the new Facebook of arguing about AI. And the guy was amazing. And we were like, hey, I don't agree with you, but like, let's just jump on a call. That is progress. That is kind of stuff. That's the world I want to live in, is where we can learn from each other and like have some takeaways. So yes, whatever your question was, I hope that answered it.
all I know right now is that I wish I could vote for you for president in this upcoming election.
That's you, right. Oh my gosh. Well, me too.
This is such a good political response.
You know, like be in the middle. That's pretty good for voting right now too.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, all right, let's not go there.
I was like, oh god, I've
said
too much already. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do politics on the next season of the Command Z show. Which elections do we wish we could undo?
Oh boy.
So yeah, I guess one of the things, taking a step away from the AI stuff for a minute here. You say that there's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to budgets and timelines. Do you think that those things are changed forever, or do you think that that's a temporary thing?
I think that we have as much power as we're willing to assume. And for better or worse, because you can go to your client and say, hey, before we take on this project, I need to know that you guarantee I have XYZ, or that, you know, the timeline looks like this instead of this. However, you know, they have full right to be like, bye. You know what I mean? Right. But you, if you have a lot of time and you have, you know, financial support from somewhere else, you can take as long as you need to build out that structure. But for the majority of people in our industry, I feel like they experience imposter syndrome, which prevents them from having the confidence to go to their client and say, actually, this isn't long enough, or this isn't enough money, or, you know, whatever. So we're always, first of all, like, you know, in projects, we're like the last ones to see a project. And so we have the least amount of influence on it, unless we're pulled in early on. But if you can have a great relationship with your client over time, it takes time. You don't treat them like a client, you treat them like a friend. And it's not schmarmy or, you know, manipulative. Like, over time, they're going to start saying, you know what, I really like working with you. And you say, you know what, I like working with you, but I feel like we could do a better job if you could pull us in earlier. And, you know, instead of telling us how much time you have, we could tell you how much time we need to get, you know, this level of quality out the door. So it's not forever, but right now, gosh, is it hard? It's hard because the economy is upside down, and even though it's not, but it is. So,
yep.
But yeah, I don't think it will be forever.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You say that too. Like, you say it's not, but it is. It's this really weird thing where, yeah, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But like, to me, I'm like, I just focus on the numbers where I'm like, all right, in general, the economy is growing financially, and it's the weirdest thing. And, you know, unemployment numbers are generally lower, but at the same time, in our industry, it is very clear and obvious that that is not the case. Yeah. Like, a lot of people are struggling right now. So it's weird, because I think it's hard for people to believe, because it's like, we're in this world, but like, in the bigger picture, sure, things might be getting better, like as a whole, but not for us, not right now anyway.
Yeah, I think we're in a transitional period. That's what's going on. I think, so just from what I'm hearing, so I always want to say that because who the heck knows what everybody else is going to say, but from what I'm hearing, budgets are changing and there's a lot of reasons why, but the way that brands are marketing is changing. And so they're reallocating big chunks of money to things like influencer marketing, which has always, you know, it's been around for a while, but I think that the value of it is more enticing to clients right now because it's kind of less work for them and it's less expensive too. So to have something big and shiny, you know, shiny animation, like doing all these things, it has a shelf life of, you know, a month or whatever or less. And it took 3 months to create and a really big budget. It's like, well, do we want to put it there or do we want to put it over here where we get immediate results that might surpass that ad that, you know, a studio created? And so what I would encourage everybody to do is like, that was hard news for me to hear. I did not like that news when I got it, but it helped me to anticipate some of the things that clients might say, some of the reasons why they should go with us instead of something like that. And also maybe we rethink how we're pushing our content, like with the kind of content that we're pushing out, and how we market ourselves. So either way, it's good information to have.
Right. I guess one of the things that I like to think about during these kinds of times, this was like a serious COVID lesson here, which was, I mean, so like I graduated college in 2008. And at that point, we're in the middle of a financial shitstorm, basically. We can say that, right?
Yeah, Sheldon? That was, I remember it well. Yeah.
And I didn't know, like, I had no idea. I had no care at all for anything related to the economy or anything like that. I just know that I spent a boatload of money on college and I would like to work in this industry, please. Mm-hmm. And that was so tough trying to navigate that. And not only just navigating that, but like, I didn't know what was going on. So everything was just so personal to me at that time. And it took me years to realize what actually was happening during that time. Like, I had no idea there was a home crisis. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I just thought that I wasn't good enough and didn't deserve to be in the industry or whatever. So like, and that's very much how I took it. And so after I kind of learned what actually happened, and once I, you know, start going freelance, start my own company, it was like kind of waiting for that to happen again. And truthfully, we went from 2008 to 2020, basically like only moving in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. Like one of the longest periods of time that we've ever had as an economy where things just kept going better and better. And it got to a point where I stopped believing in that idea. I'm like, oh, we are good. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're doing good. It's always going to be this way. And then whenever COVID happens and projects back out and we have nothing to do.
Yeah.
it really forced me to try to figure out like, okay, well, like I knew that this thing could happen. I thought that I was like immune to anything happening like this, but here we are. What am I going to do? And ultimately for me at that time, it was like, I didn't know if things are going to be changed forever. I think we all just assume that we're never leaving our houses again at this point. We have to figure out ways to do things. But for me, it was like, okay, well, I can't get people to say yes to $20,000, $30,000 projects right now. So what if I do something that's $300?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just do a lot of them, like just something like that. Obviously, like not something that I would necessarily recommend to everybody.
Right.
But at this point, I was like, we need to do something and it has to be big. That's all I knew.
I think that people forget, people in our industry forget that they're creative. And creativity mm-hmm. does not stop at art. If you can be a creative business person and a creative owner or a whatever, like you can think of what product or service there's an appetite for right now. And that can get you through the uncertain times. And right now is a little uncertain. I mean, we keep going from one uncertain time to another, but you know, maybe eventually it will level off. But just, you know, think about what the market wants. If your clients are saying you're too expensive, make something less expensive. And it doesn't mean it has to be forever, but when you're a right. business owner, you're not only focused, well, I should say you should not ever be only focused on yourself and your business. You have to focus on your employees and you have to make sure that you have exhausted every type of idea so that they can stay where they are. And if you can't do that, you know, it's like sometimes stuff happens, but it should be welcomed to be creative and to come up with different solutions in these types of times. That's just my opinion.
Right. And that's, I mean, it's very much like kind of where we got to this year, where it was like, okay, you know what? Last time we did this, I mean, it was just a temporary thing. I ended up booking out our time for a few weeks on like 20 something stop motion projects. And I was like, awesome. We've never did stop motion before this. Like I just kind of launched this as an exercise. And I don't know, like that was so important for me personally, again, to just realize where it's like, oh, now like I have the confidence for whenever something like this happens, mm-hmm. I have some control here. I don't just have to sit here and watch it all happen, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, I know a lot of people would have a very big issue with me saying that, like, as far as from like a dollars perspective, they'd say, oh, you're devaluing the industry, stuff like that. And
it depends on, I think it depends. It's tough, but I think it totally depends because you don't have to say this is of the same quality that you would get for $30,000. Right. It's not. And I think right. you like the way I remember the way that you presented that those ads or those that marketing, it was very clear like what you got. And it's you know, no one could afford anything. So they were really grateful to get what you were doing for that price point. And so as long as you're adding value to the customer experience, I don't believe that you're ever devaluing your own talents or skills, because you're just seeing an opportunity to help someone and tailoring that solution to their budget. It's not, you know, just discounting yourself 80%. That's not at all what this is about, I don't think.
Right. Right. And I guess I bring all this stuff up because I feel like that's kind of where we're at right now, where it's like, you have a couple options right now. You could, one, say, I can't find clients. I can't, you just wait, mm-hmm. right? I guess that's the option. You just wait and you say, okay, the industry's messed up. Maybe it's AI's fault, maybe whatever. I don't know. But waiting is the most scary thing for me because you don't know. You don't know how long these times might last. And you don't know if things will come back to exactly the way it was before. You know, like I said, with 3D animation starting from the 90s, that was only 30 years ago.
Oh my God, don't say that. Okay.
Yeah, it's actually 34, but whatever. But it's that same idea though. Like, our industry is still like really young, like yeah. extremely young. And we've seen how much it's changed up to this point. And to think that it's like done changing for a while, I think is crazy.
Yeah. I'll add to that and just say, I think it's an excellent point to kind of look back in order to look forward. Because let's think about Photoshop. And when I remember hearing folks say like, oh my gosh, you can like pull in someone's picture and then change their picture. And then they would post it online. So they look different. Like, so retouching was like, kind of like a big deal, but like you're deceiving someone. And now it's like, dude, I'll just do this on my phone. I'll look awesome. And you have no idea. I didn't sleep, you know, all night. Like that's kind of, you know what I mean? So I think there's like a tolerance that we'll eventually get to where we're like, okay, this is okay generally, but anything above that, we're not okay with. We can detect it and we know, you know, we don't like that. So we haven't hit that point where, you know, in mass, everyone has agreed on what's okay and what's not. But yeah, I mean, like tools are going to constantly improve, whether they're AI or not, to make a task way easier because it's a pain in the ass to begin with. And so like right. Rotoscoping, I mean, like, remember that? Remember all the rotoscopers out there? Where are they now? And hey guys, wherever you are, thanks for your service. But like they're not, I don't know how many there are out there, but I remember there are a bunch of studios, you know, even if like 5 years ago that were still doing well in rotoscoping, but now it's like, it's so easy just because of the tools. So I think it will just constantly improve and we just have to get used to it. We got to take a deep breath and maybe like a Xanax and be okay with it for a little while. I know.
One or two.
I'm going to get so much hate mail. And for everyone out there, I love you, but like, don't be scared anymore because it's just preventing us from learning anything and preparing ourselves for how to work through this level of disruption.
100%. Very much agree. Let's get into some final thoughts here. Back to our original question. Shelby, what was the question?
Yeah, what was it? I'm sorry.
We've gone a long way since then.
Don't worry. The original question was, what are the big challenges affecting studios right now?
So for our final thoughts here, Shelby, I'm going to go back to you first. Let's try to summarize that, our thoughts of that question. Sorry, I'm just babbling over here. That's fine. Shelby, final thoughts, go.
Yeah, I think from my standpoint is... And I have a lot of conversations with artists on both sides, thinking about these different challenges, especially like when it comes to AI. And I completely agree. I think right now there's a really big response to something that people don't really understand, whether that be AI or the economy. And really, I even wrote this down as like disliking something without understanding it isn't formulating an opinion, it's reacting. Which is not the same thing. So I think something that we need to do collectively is take that step back and, you know, reflect, understand exactly what our position is within this, how you should be using these tools, how you should be understanding how you fit within the economy currently. And I think not reacting out of a fear-based judgment is really what is necessary for our little slice of the industry right now.
Yep. Amanda, final thoughts on, I don't know, I guess some last piece of advice you'd like to give to people about this sort of changing world we're currently in.
Be open-minded. You're going to panic and it's fine. I do it every night. It's cool. You'll get through it. but I panic about all kinds of things. And so I have to remind myself like, this is just one thing. It's just one thing to be scared of, but there are other things out there that I could be focusing on, but I'm not. And so just be aware that it's just a feeling and it doesn't mean it's necessarily the truth. So the best way to get over that feeling is to learn the truth. You have to talk to people and be kind to people when they have a different idea, especially online. Be super kind online because I feel like we could get into dangerous situations if we have a very black and white stance on this kind of thing. So we have to communicate with each other to understand where as a whole we fit in and what we're okay with and what we're not okay with so that we can then push that out into the ether and drive our industry in the way that we see fit instead of our clients or, you know, technology companies, we have to have a unified voice, and that starts with communicating with each other.
Yeah, love that. I would say we are at this really weird point right now where it's like a downturn and an inflection point all sort of like rolled into one. And it's making this sort of graph do some weird things that maybe we've never seen before. Sorry, I'm really visual right now.
I like it. I'm like, I want to see this graph.
It's, I could draw it. I don't know. I think that the safest thing that all of us can do in this industry right now is assume that things are different forever. I think it's kind of like the, maybe it's my generalized anxiety way of working through things, is just always assuming the worst. So when it happens, it's not really that bad. And I don't know. Like, I don't even know if it's the worst, though. Like, is it really the worst thing that could happen if the industry sort of changes? Again, if your answer is yes to that, then you probably need to have a little bit of soul searching for yourself. Take that little step back and figure out what is it that you want to do to move forward with this. Because if we're going to assume that it's changed forever right now, well, then doing the same things that maybe you were doing before is just not going to be helpful anymore. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like, and this is how I think even with my own company, where it's like, okay, everything's different now. How are we going to adapt? Maybe it's just for a couple of weeks. Maybe it's for a couple of years. I don't know, but I can tell you that even if we adapt right now, we're going to be different 5 years from now. Like, that's just maybe how it works, you know?
There's this really great comic strip. I know I just totally cut in on you, and I'm sorry for that, but this is the perfect moment for this. And I'm sure there's a comic strip, but there's also like memes and stuff like that. And it's of two people, like two stick figures. And I think they're a couple, and one person's looking at the other one, and she's like, "You've changed." And he goes, "We're supposed to." And it's like, damn, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And something that a superpower in our industry is the fact that we can adapt. Like, every project is different. It's got a different subject matter. We have to use different tools. We have to do, you know, maybe even a different process. We can do this too. We can adapt. We can figure this out. We have to stay calm. This is like one of those moments, like, right, stay calm in an emergency so you can think straight. So that's what I think this is about. We have to change, but we have to stay calm about it.
Right. And sort of like I was saying before, like, we saw this huge stretch of time where there wasn't any, like, it was only up and up and up, right? Mm-hmm. So for most of us, this is our first time like really experiencing something like this, which is crazy to think about. From, you know, people that are from the ages of, you know, just out of college, maybe 21, 22, all the way to 37, maybe 40-ish. Mm-hmm. Like, that huge range of people right there are all experiencing something like this for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And that's nuts. Like, to think about how lucky we've been that this is kind of the first time that we're trying to navigate something like this.
Well, in their defense, it is one hell of a change. I mean, this is something that I don't think anyone's experienced. I mean, maybe the Industrial Revolution, maybe that level. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell you, but I can tell you the feeling that comes with it. And it feels like doom and gloom sometimes when you see things like Sora pop up out of nowhere and you're like, oh my God, that's what this is, you know, they're coming for us. So you have to, like, mm-hmm, talk yourself off of the ledge and talk your friends off of the ledge and figure out how to use it for your benefit while it is not stealing or harming others.
Right. And I think the last thing that I'll say is, I think with all of this, it's sort of probably created a lot more competition. Not probably, it has, right? There's a lot of people. Our last job opening had over 400 people applying for it. That was the most by far, by double, more than double, wow, of what we've ever gotten in any job listing ever before. And at first I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, we're doing it. Like, everybody wants to work here. But then I kind of realized over time, I'm like, no, it's because a lot of people are looking for work right now. Mm-hmm. And that level of competition is, it can hurt, right? Especially whenever it comes to our art and creativity, when we're competing against other people. And I don't know, I guess so along those same lines of what you're talking about, like, I think it's really easy to find anger right now, but it's not the right feeling that people should be having right now. And it, you know, sure, have it, but you got to move past it at some point, to be able to move forward, to figure out what is, if you think that everything's different, you need to figure out what is the future of this industry. What is the future of your path? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that's the most important thing that people can do right now.
Well, I had a meeting with a friend who also owns a studio, and I won't say who, but way bigger studio than what we have. And you know, I was kind of upset, like just kind of like mad, like, well, you know, budgets are low and AI this and fuck that. Sorry, but it's true. And he's, you know, he kind of slapped me out of it. And he said, well, are you just going to give up? What, are you just going to like quit now? He's like, there are so many people out there that are hustling circles because they see the potential and you don't. And if you don't see it, then you're going to lose. And it was like really effective pep talk. And I was like, damn, okay. But it made me realize, like, we have been getting soft. Our industry has been getting soft because we've been on this very cushy trajectory. But now it's very difficult, and it opens that window of possibility of where motion can go next. And now it's up to us, out of desperation or creativity or whatever it is, we got to figure out where we want to be. So that's the next step, I think.
Yeah, I love that. That's the perfect way to segue into this final portion of our podcast, which is where we say thank you to Amanda. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I can't wait to see you in a month or so. Yeah.
Roughly, yes. Again, for all you listening still, if you are there, May 17th through 19th, makingmidwest.com. Get your tickets now. We actually just, I will say this, as of yesterday, and I might regret this, but as of yesterday, we made a new ticket option for people that aren't able to travel. We're going to do a live stream option on things. Again, I might regret saying this, but we're going to try it. We're going to try doing live stream for this whole thing.
I think that's really smart. So, I love that. I'm going to tell my friends now.
You should. It is really smart, but hopefully it all works perfectly, right? Anyway, we'll get too much into that. It'll probably work. There's a good chance it's going to work.
It's going to be so great. The best ever.
Amanda, where can people find out more about you?
If you go on LinkedIn, I'm all over LinkedIn. Usually it might take me a little while to respond, but you can find me on Instagram at Amanda in Motion. Or you can go to our studio website at wearecream.com.
Love it. All right. Well, thank you both. Shelby, thank you.
Thank you, Shelby.
Thank you, Shelby. to everyone out there, I love you. Bye.
The Command Z Show is created by Made by Things. And if you have a question you would like us to discuss, you can send a message at cmdz.show. And if you like what you hear, leave a review. We'll see you next week with a brand new show.